Well, even though I am actually not going to speak actually from John 15, I will be speaking from a first cousin of John 15. So let's pray. May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If you spend much time in your Christian life listening to other believers, listening to yourself, reading volumes throughout the 2,000-year history of the church about people who had come to a place of longing to have a walk with the Lord that's more faithful and more fruitful, to go further up and further in. And they'll often talk about what to do with the self-life, because that seems to be the source of everything that hinders them and keeps them back. And so there's all kinds of volumes about what to do. There have been all kinds of conversations. I've heard all kinds of sermons about what to do about dealing with the self-life so that we can actually be free to walk with Him, to experience more of His fullness, to manifest more of His fullness. So here's a great verse. This is Galatians chapter 5. Let me just start in the context a little bit. Verse 16, Galatians 5 says, I say, walk in the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Then he goes on, he talks about the works of the flesh. And then he says, but in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there is no need for the law. There's no need to put external requirements on people who are manifesting this. Why do you need rules if you're manifesting love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control? That's a life versus a legalism. Then he says in verse 24, now those who belong to Christ, now literally what this actually says is those who are Christ's, not those who belong to Him. It's different. Let me give you an idea. This is in Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 27. For all of you who were baptized into Jesus Christ, you've clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free man, there's neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ. Now, it's really, he's not just saying you're all one in terms of unity with each other. He's saying you're all on the same playing field, level playing field. You all have the same identity. You all have the same equipment to live the Christian life. You've been empowered with the same. If you belong to Christ, that's the same phrase. It should be, if you're Christ, and what does he mean by if you're Christ? You've been baptized into him. You've clothed yourself with his very life. He's not speaking about you just belong to Jesus. You are part of him. Like if somebody says, well, boy, there's someone who's of the Stahl clan. That means that they carry the DNA that makes them like Stahl. We're in union with Christ. So to be of Christ is about being one with him. You aren't Christ, but somehow mystically you're in union with him. And so when he says these words, and those who are Christ, those who are Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Isn't it interesting? He talks about the deeds of the flesh, but he says, if you'll walk in the Spirit, how do you deal with the deeds of the flesh? Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And when you read through this, what he's basically saying is walk in the true identity that is yours. I like what the couple of verses, I like what the Passion Translation says. Now I'm going to change the first part of it because I don't think you got the first part very right. He says, keep in mind that you are Christ, the Anointed One, and have already experienced crucifixion. For everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with Jesus. So here's the deal. What to do with the self-life? It's too late. Somebody already did something about the self-life. And it happened 2,000 years ago. When you became born again, when you said yes to what Jesus has done for you by faith, what was already true about you was deposited into your personal reality, that the self-life was already taken care of. And a lot of Christians spend their time struggling and wearing themselves out, trying to accomplish something God's already accomplished. And that's really a ploy from the enemy. Because the enemy lies to us that we're still somehow what we're not. The scripture says in Colossians 2 that we have put off the old self. This is the same thing in Ephesians 5, actually. We've put off the old self. And yet the enemy tries to deceive us that we're still something that we're not. He wants to cloud our true identity. I love what this is, the Passion Translation, paraphrase, translation, whatever you want to call it. And I love what he says. This is Galatians 2:20. So familiar. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, or I no longer live. Listen to this. My old identity has been co-crucified with Jesus and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, but the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, because he believes in his life. He believes in himself to live the Christian life through me. He believes in his ability. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. So the issue of trying to get rid of the self-life, God's really smarter than we give him credit for being. He took care of that issue so that at the very beginning we could start with the opportunity of actually being successful, faithful, and fruitful in the Christian life. He didn't like just start us off as a big mess and say, now see if you can work it out. So what do? We come into agreement with him one step at a time. That we are who he says we are and not who the enemy has told us that we have been and still are, because that's a lie. This particular church, if you were to say, what is our vision? What is our calling? What's always been our calling is to be a healing center through union with Christ. To help people discover their true identity, knowing who they are in Christ and therefore who he is in them and the life he's prepared to live through them. That's always been what this church is about. Signs and wonders ministry flow from that. Compassionate love ministry flow from that. Life of holiness flows from that. Inner healing flows from that. Everything. Deliverance all flows from that. The sad reality is, 2,000 years in, so many Christians don't understand the most basic thing. Who are you in Christ? And the enemy wears us out trying to accomplish something, to earn some place. A freedom, victory, wholeness, self-worth, when we were born into it. because of what he accomplished 2,000 years ago. You can't have a better self-image than Jesus. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.